saw something on social media this weekend that I have been struggling with ever since. It's about politics. Unfortunately, it is about Republican politics in Minnesota. But I think there is a greater issue here, and this is the issue of whether or not we can reach our human potential, whether or not we are in touch with our hearts and our minds as citizens and as a free people in this country. And so it has a lot to do with society. I'm hoarse because I have started and stopped and worked in this podcast for 24 hours. It is very frustrating to me. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit before we get started in podcast 821, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, I am hearing scary reports that supposedly there is a snowstorm that's, sneaking around out in the western portions of the United States, which may come to Minnesota. Don't know if it's true. I haven't even looked up those stories because I don't want to know. But we did have a big snowstorm last year around tax time. So talking about air conditioning checks seems kind of silly when it comes to Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, but it is going to start getting warm and people are going to want to turn on their AC, and you want to make sure that it's going to work right because you haven't been out to check that box all winter long, and all sorts of things can happen to that air conditioner outside. So when you have plumbing, heating, or air conditioning problems, you want reliable service, you want it fixed right, and that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, call 612-927-6488. Ask about AC checks. It has to be at least 70 for them to come out and check your AC, so once the temperature goes up, you'll know. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business, because when it comes to keeping all these systems that we have these days running right, especially at home or business, when you have plumbing or heating problems or air conditioning problems, you want reliable service. That means Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Again, people sometimes think that they can do all this themselves. These systems are way more complicated today than they used to be, and I hate to say it because we're talking about government. The rules and regulations for who can work on what in your home, well, you might want to ask Ryan about that too, right? Don't forget, in St. Paul, you call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go to Invergrove. They go to Stillwater. They go to, let me think of a northern metro, Maple Grove. They go to St. Louis Park in Plymouth, and they go to Burnsville. Metro-wide from St. Paul, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, Google Play. We are on Alexa. Alexa uses TuneIn. That's my understanding, but I think it could also use Google Play if you're using the Google, home device robot thing. Or you can just subscribe to the Bob Davis Podcast right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. They're streaming there if you want to listen to it right off the page. Or you can subscribe, of course, to the granddaddy, iTunes. I do appreciate likes and especially shares of the posts on social media, so Facebook and Twitter, such as they are. And I do appreciate donations for Mobile Podcast Command getting ready to sally forth at some point here in the near future at thebobdavispodcasts.com. So I find it increasingly difficult to talk about politics. I think that political conversations were part and parcel, the mother's milk of talk radio. When I did talk radio, a lot of the people that used to listen to me on the radio listen to my podcasts, and sometimes I feel obligated to talk about politics. And because I was on conservative talk radio and quote-unquote was a conservative at the time, I have people who listen to me that hail from those so-called sectors. I am not like that anymore. I have evolved. I don't want to say that I'm apolitical because I have strong opinions about stuff, but I'm vastly disgusted with it because I don't think any of these people have evolved. I don't think it matters what part of the political spectrum you come from. I don't think anything matters anymore on any of this stuff. Part of it is that I have evolved. Part of it is that I have a daily, meditative practice that has brought me literally from one place to another. And I find this increasingly difficult to even get into. And when I start, so if I do it like an easy talker, I get disgusted with myself. If I try to write it out, it's just ridiculous because you open, it's everything is a can of worms. You open it up and it's a can of worms, and it's just so friggin' frustrating. So I'm going to attempt to do this again and do it in less than 30 minutes because I just can't stand this constant haranguing and telling people what to think. And I can't stand this constant, partisanship, which really sounded great in 1999 and 2000 and 2001, but that was almost 30 years ago. So, do we really need to? It was 20 years ago. Do we 18 years ago? And it's like these people have been locked in time that they cannot get out of that roach motel called partisan media / talk radio or whatever. And I just can't do it anymore. But every now and then something gets me, and I feel that I should bring it out. And this is what I mean when I say I try to find these pivot points and talk about them. And the politics that I really hate talking about is Minnesota politics, because it is so passive aggressive and so dysfunctional and so does not work that it's almost impossible to, I'm not going to convince anybody. I'm not going to get anywhere with it. And it's awful. And yet I'm going to do this. So here we go. I have a long and involved thing here. But basically, I opened up my Facebook feed Saturday morning and saw a group of people of live Facebook thing, which I hate, on a misty April morning in Elk River, Minnesota, where Minnesota's 6th Congressional District Republicans were having their convention at the high school there. And these people were upset with Tom Emmer and Jim Abler, who is a state senator from Anoka, basically. And the 6th District is also home to the state's second largest Somali population in St. Cloud. I will tell you, I have a lot of friends up there, and this is the number one topic of conversation, these Muslims and how they're running amok and what's going to happen with this, because there were never people like this, especially in St. Cloud. Certainly Minneapolis had some level of diversity, but the largest group of Somalis in the United States are in Minnesota. The largest group of Somalis in Minnesota are in the 5th District down in Minneapolis. The second largest is in St. Cloud. So overall, there are about 60,000 Somalis. They are the second largest group of immigrants in the state. The first is Hmong people from Laos who came here after the Vietnam War, after they helped us try to defeat communism. And of course, they were also controversial when they first came here. So the Somalis are obviously controversial, not just because they are from another place and look different, but because they are Muslims. So this doesn't mean you're a racist if you point out that they're Muslims. It doesn't mean that I'm going to attack you because you don't like Muslims or whatever. You have your right to not like anything that you don't. I'm just laying out I'm setting the table, okay? This is also a place, Minnesota, where recently a daycare charity was implicated in a scheme to allegedly, I should say an alleged scheme to defraud the government of aid money for childcare, which to my knowledge is being prosecuted by the federal government. Now, I don't know if that's true, but my understanding is I read somewhere that this is being prosecuted. There's some corrections here. First of all, one of the things that they said was that Congressman Emmer is responsible for $5.7 billion of spending. To my knowledge, a single congressman is not, quote unquote, responsible for spending. Congress appropriates money through a budgeting process. This is picky, but, there are committees that spending plans have to go through. One of them is Ways and Means. Tom Emmer is a member of that committee. Spending bills are proposed, analyzed, put forward in committees, then voted on by the whole House, sent to the Senate, and then on to the president to be signed. At the state level, it goes to the governor to be signed. Government spending is the responsibility of all elected representatives, not one or another congressman, even though they run out and they want to get bridges named after them and talk about what they've done for the district. I really don't want this podcast to be about Sharia law, Muslims, or Somalis, or Congressman Emmer, or Senator Abler, but it is to a certain degree. But I also want to talk about human potential, because again, we're not unlocking human potential. And I'm going to talk about that too. There is something deeply depressing about this display of ignorance on the part of the rather earnest protesters who certainly have the right to make fools of themselves any day of the week. So here's a couple of points about Sharia law. Sharia cannot become law in the United States, partially because of the First Amendment and because the federal constitution lays claim to being the supreme law of the land, including the states. Religious law applies to people observing a faith. It has nothing to do with law, with the U.S. and state, federal, you know, or state codes or the local laws. It can't, because the supreme law of the land is the U.S. Constitution. The First Amendment prevents passing laws regarding religion. It also prevents people from stopping people from worshiping as they choose to wherever they are in the United States. Now, rather than do a whole podcast about fear-mongering, and believe me, I have tried, or trying to pick apart the arguments about Sharia and unwanted Somalis in places like St. Cloud and Minneapolis, they came here legally under the auspices of the State Department through successive Republican and Democrat regimes, administrations rather, and through legally designated agencies like the Lutheran Brotherhood and Catholic Charities in Minnesota. And many have been coming here since the 1980s. Most of them are U.S. citizens. So remedies to complaints about Somalis will not be sending U.S. citizens back to Somalia. No congressman can propose it because it violates their civil rights. Under the Constitution, the civil rights, yours and mine and theirs, cannot be contravened, and generally the United States grants civil protections to non-citizens as well. They are, however, like all of us, subject to prosecution if they violate the law. So that there you go with that. And I don't know how much longer I need to go on with that. Yes, there are a lot of Somalis in Minnesota. Quite honestly, they're better organized than Republicans and more united than Republicans, who generally don't have time to get off of their lazy boy. And it was evidenced by the fact that in this video, one 85-year-old Republican hobbled into the hall and was followed by one 70, 60, 50, 80, or whatever, Republican hobbling into the hall in disparate numbers. I can't imagine that there were more than 200 people in there, if that. And yet, as I said, the number one complaint of people in the 6th District is, if they're Republican, is these Muslims running amok. Now, because these groups are well organized, Congressman Emmer, along with his former colleague Keith Ellison in the House, made a number of efforts to reach out to these groups, and these people are very upset about that, these white Republicans. Somehow, despite this, Congressman Emmer keeps getting reelected, and somehow, in spite of this, Keith Ellison also was elected to become the state's attorney general. So I don't know how that's possible. By the way, Jim Abler is a footnote here, but Jim Abler, the state senator from Anoka, keeps getting elected too, and I don't know how that's possible because there's so many people complaining about these guys, but yet they keep getting elected. So the truth is, the reason people are coming to this country is twofold. One, we keep invading countries and blowing things up, and of course, then they want to come here. And two, the fact is that traditional white Americans are older and simply have not produced enough children. In order to grow, this country needs new workers, which is why Italians and Irish and Germans and Scandinavians and Central European and Eastern European people came here 100 years ago. These days, they are coming from Latin America, Asia, and Africa, and there are all kinds of people here from those places because we need new workers. And this is why already in California, Latin American, Asian American, and African Americans outnumber white people when you put them all together. The whites in general are the minority. Is this a problem? I don't know. If whites don't like being a minority, have more kids, or at least find some Eastern Europeans to bring to the United States. What's wrong with this picture? Well, I think that there is a larger commentary here about where we are as a people, a state, and a country, and it doesn't look good. And we're going to talk about that in the second half of this podcast. Well, where's my coffee? I just had it. Oh, yeah, it's over here. Let me just grab it because I didn't I made coffee after dinner, and boy, I love my coffee. And if you were like me, you love your coffee too. But what if your coffee causes health problems for you? Some people are starting to talk to me about that. Guess what? There's a breakthrough coffee that tastes great and makes people feel fantastic. It's called Organo. Got together recently with my friend Lois Kofi and some Organo lovers, and I'm going to share some of their stories about Organo, which also includes in all of their products this stuff called Ganoderma. Listen up after this little story about Ganoderma. Lois Coffee is going to tell you how to get Organo so you can change your life by simply changing your coffee.
I'm Dr. Lisa Humfeld-Wilson with Humfeld Chiropractic and Nutrition Center in Faribault. I cannot do caffeine. So my experience with caffeine prior to Organo was it would actually cause seizures. Prior to Organo, I had chosen to just step away from caffeine altogether. It's because of that amazing herb called Ganoderma. Testing my nutrition patients with it to see if it was going to be a benefit to them, really have seen success with some of my patients. We got this mother going on a black coffee and some tea, and it was like a game changer for her. She was like a new person. Having a coffee like Organo has with the Ganoderma in it has been a great benefit to not only myself, but also to my patients. My favorite product is the King, and second followed by the Latte. But I will tell you that probably the number one seller in the office when I'm checking patients is probably the Spores. I cannot keep the Spores, which is a capsule form of the Ganoderma.
So if you want to experience the amazing health through your daily coffee habit, please contact me. I'll give you 25% off your first order. Give me a call at 612-708-5480 or go to my website landing page, www.globalcoffeeteam.com, and submit your contact information, and I'll follow up with you and provide you with some excellent service.
Now, Organo also has great opportunities for you to change your life by helping to grow Organo, to try Organo, or help expand Organo's reach with new accounts. Contact Lois Kofi at globalcoffeeteam.com. Change your coffee, change your life. And of course, you can always call Lois at 612-708-5480. That's 612-708-5480, Organo. Yes, I am talking about protectionism and trade protectionism, especially in this podcast. But the thing is, business has to deal with this as a reality. And in the news these days, with all the talk about foreign manufacturing with President Trump, some companies are preparing to bring some of their manufacturing or all of their manufacturing back to the United States. If this is you, I'm going to recommend Depot Star, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. Visit their website at depotstar.com. So recently I had an experience, and I have them usually once a week, that's pretty profound on the yoga mat, in which this question of human potential comes up. And it's not like we're talking about it. It comes up because you feel it. I push myself really hard when I do yoga, and often I'm double dipping. And many times I think, I don't want to do this. Why am I doing this? And then I get to the end of the practice, and I realize why I'm doing it. And I realize the pride and the strength that comes from forcing yourself to do more than you think you can, because you can. And so for me, the issue here is human potential and the great tragedy of our time in terms of government, in terms of the government that we think is our government, is that it is trampling on everybody's human potential. And we are not working hard enough to develop human potential of any person, any type of person in this country. Because what we end up talking about in the political sphere, especially in Republican Minnesota, is the fear of somebody else getting ahead, the fear of the unknown and unfamiliar, the fear of what happens when, combined with no organization, no plan, and no political expertise, you keep losing. So if you want to win, if you want to oppose Tom Emmer, you don't like Jim Abler, you're Republicans and you want to have take over the Republican Party or whatever, what's your plan? Pitting one group against another isn't a plan, and it's never going to fly in Minnesota, because Minnesota is and always has been a politically progressive state, and they're proud of it, whether they're Republicans or Democrats. Currently, we have two false political choices in this country which limit our human potential. One of them is so-called democratic socialism. The other one is actually national populism. Neither will deliver sound money, less spending, less taxation, and less government interference in our individual human potential. Both alternatives are death warrants. Death warrants for the United States, at least as it pertains to competing with the rest of the world, or at least as it pertains to what is left of what we called capitalism as an economic system in this country, which we no longer have. Our president has managed to sell himself as a conservative Republican and as a capitalist. This is a con. He is a con man. The president is a strong trade protectionist. He is also a man who built his empire on federal subsidies, state subsidies, and borrowed money. He is a president who rules essentially by fiat or executive orders, something no conservative 10 years ago even would have allowed, and something many Republicans constantly criticize President Obama for. Bottom line is, he is a big spending president, Republican or Democrat, and he has increased the budget more than the socialist President Obama, right? How does this play out politically? Well, in Minnesota, we send what we might call Democrats opposed to abortion, or Republicans, to Washington and St. Paul. They are big spending politicians. So here's a fact. The last time Minnesota Republicans voted and actually cut spending was during former Governor Tim Pawlenty's administration in the 1990s, almost 30 years ago. It is also true that Republicans in this state raised spending for transportation and education in nearly every budget and every bonding, budget. Each successive budget spends more, and they hoodwink you into thinking they are quote-unquote conservative because they're Christian, pro-gun, or pro-life most of the time. The bottom line is, if you keep spending, you have to raise taxes to pay for it. And Republicans are just as responsible for this problem as Democrats. Now, on the federal level, neither party has actually cut spending in about the same amount of time, to tell you the truth. Eventually, they are going to have to raise taxes or print more money or borrow more money, which is also printing more money or taxing more money for that spending. When the Republicans are out of power, they howl about taxes, careful not to complain too much about spending, and all the penguins run down to the state capitol and the federal capitol to get their pictures taken and to be on TV as, you know, strong supporters of lower tax law, but they're all hypocrites because they all end up spending more. And all of their little penguin defenders are doing the same thing. Yet Minnesota Republicans, older and whiter and more religious than ever before, and I'm talking about the voters, keep sending moderates masquerading as conservatives to the statehouse and Washington. In Minnesota's 8th district, Minnesotans sent a pro-Trump union supporter to Washington, and in Minnesota's 1st district, Republicans sent a pro-Trump trade protectionist supporter. Neither of these policies are capitalist or conservative, but the Minnesota GOP sings their praises and cries victory, incidentally, while losing all the statewide races and two key suburban Republican districts, which have been Republican for many, many years. So they lost the 2nd and 3rd district, which were Republican, and picked up the 1st and the 8th with smaller populations. While feckless Republican loudmouths out here complain about tinkering with the Constitution, Minnesotans send who? They send Tom Emmer to Washington for the third time and are somehow surprised to find out that he supports the National Popular Vote Initiative, which tinkers with the Electoral College. Like the Affordable Care Act, a Republican idea, because Republicans were concerned about an electoral disadvantage, so they came up with this nonsense National Popular Vote. Now, if you're against the Electoral College, it's a great idea. But if you believe in the Electoral College, it's not a great idea. So look, there are two things you have to get right to create prosperity and unlock human potential. It doesn't matter if you're India or the United States. And they are sound money and low taxes. You cannot have either when you increase the federal debt by trillions every year or when the total national debt is anywhere near 100% of the GDP. At the state level, when you spend more every biennium, bond more every biennium, you must tax more to balance the budget. You cannot have low taxes when the government is providing trade protection to farmers, steelworkers, and coal miners, spending itself into the poorhouse, or when the central banks are injecting money into the banking system by the hundreds of billions per month. And by the way, you can't have economic growth that way either. You will not have sound money and low taxes promoting and entertaining theories that call for the Federal Reserve to inject as much money as needed into the banking system as long as it is in U.S. dollar denominations. Sooner or later, the piper has to be paid. And by the way, subsidized housing, trains and buses, education, shiny new planes and ships, soldiers and Marines and, you know, sailors, bridges and highways and airports, and all of the several support programs paid for by local, state and federal governments must be paid for. All the government contracts that keep businesses afloat in the state of Minnesota have to be paid for by taxpayers. There is no way out of this equation. We cannot unlock human potential that is so badly needed to compete if we spend all of our time scaring the hell out of people and all of our money on national socialist projects, whether inspired by Democrats or Republicans. And what is the president talking about? Infrastructure. Neither mainline political party in the United States is for liberty or capitalism. And I'm sorry to say this, what I see in this state, Minnesota, when it comes to Republicans, is a bankrupt political party hanging on by the skin of its teeth. I see disorganization, a huge lack of talent and enthusiasm, and terrible organization. And especially, I see people who just don't know how to politically organize. They get no help to do it and don't know how to express themselves, and they don't know what to do. So they're left with silly posters and Facebook Live videos on a, you know, rainy day in Minnesota. Meanwhile, Democrats have been reaching out to growing ethnic groups, special interests, and finding out what they want and need for 30 years. This is what Republicans don't understand. So Democrats are reaching out to clans and people and groups to find out what they need and giving it to them. So those efforts are providing a steady stream of talented candidates who are winning, and their strength is spreading people into what used to be solid Republican districts. Meanwhile, the so-called Minnesota Republican is largely white, religious, but especially old. And, you know, while most of them decry the welfare state for others, they are happy receivers of Social Security, health programs, farm subsidies, Medicaid and Medicare, homeowner tax credits, Obamacare, housing subsidies, legal aid, business subsidies, and government contracts. And most of them love to attend or applaud or help build sports functions at stadiums paid for with taxpayer money. All of it paid for with taxpayer money. And oddly, Republican politicians keep getting elected saying they are quote-unquote conservative because they are against abortion and then voting for more spending. And what they always say is, quote, they have two go-to arguments. One, we held the line against Democrats. And two, why don't you criticize Democrats? Those are the two go-to arguments for the Republicans. But basically, that's just blaming the kid next door for stealing the cookies from the jar that you also ate. And what are the three Republicans arguing about at the CD6 convention? Well, they're arguing about Sharia law. Nobody cares. They're arguing about closing the border by building a wall for $7 billion, not to mention the existing costs of Homeland Security, which, by the way, happens to be the largest unionized workforce in the country, which happened under a Republican administration. And they're busy demanding lower taxes, but they never cut their precious programs or their precious budgets. So what's happening is these people are literally spitting into the wind. So here's the deal. It is time for new political parties, and it is time for new politics and new blood in them. And I just don't think that is ever going to happen in Minnesota, and probably not in the United States without some kind of crisis. And unfortunately, crisis is never good for the kinds of policies that unlock human potential. Don't forget, my printer is powered by Cartridge World because they give me 30% off compared to the big box stores on laser print cartridges. They can do the same for you. Free delivery on qualifying orders. Cartridge World in Maple Grove off of Weaver Lake Road between Dairy Queen and Subway. If you're hearing this podcast anywhere in the world, they can hook you up at 763-420-6632, 763-420-6632, or click on the banner that says Cartridge World at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks again to Ryan Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. When you want reliable service for all of your systems, which are very sophisticated these days, you want someone who knows what they're doing. You want reliable service. That means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927 from St. Paul's Frogtown, metro-wide for four generations, Ryan Plumbing and Heating at ryanplumbing.com. So in summary, I would just say, you know, you can never say everything that you want to say in a 32-minute or 34-minute podcast or 29 or 27-minute podcast. That's just how it is. So I'm sure I'll revisit it again. I really struggle to talk about politics, but this thing with this crazy thing at CD6 this weekend really set me off. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, podcast 821, the Bob Davis Podcasts.